Very good word. Thank you so much. I'm really good at denying my feelings until I get to worship. I can blow it off, and I can even sit in a deer stand and not think about the pain that I'm in, if you will. And then sometimes when I come to worship, it is just overwhelming. And you also experience that, I know. Today we're talking about Thanksgiving, and all of a sudden the preacher's going to be preaching on giving, if you will. Well, one of the fascinating parts of that connection is that throughout the Old Testament, thanksgiving was expressed through giving. There were thank offerings that the nation of Israel gave many, many times throughout the year. And so it's perfectly fitting for us to talk about that today in the context of being thankful. Being thankful is measured in a great deal by how we respond to God in our thanksgiving. What do we do with it? It's great to say, I'm thankful. But as a result of thanksgiving, as a result of being thankful, the question becomes, so what? You with me? Oh, I'm great. Yeah, I'm grateful. I'm thankful. But how does that affect me is the point. If you look at this verse with me in Luke chapter 6, it says, give and it will be given to you, for with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. A number of years ago in one of my appointments, I got there, and the church had had numerous problems for years with chimney bats, swifts, or whatever they're called. You with me? You understand what I'm talking about? They would come in and swarm and swarm, and people just wouldn't come to church. And they had hired many, many experts to fix the problem and spent thousands of dollars trying to fix the problem and couldn't get it fixed. I'd been there 2 weeks. They went away. Somebody said, how'd that happen? I said, I gave them a pledge card. Sorry. But you know, the other thing that is also true, that part, as you know, was me being facetious. But in this same first appointment, I got up to preach one Sunday, and we had a visitor. And it was Stewardship Sunday, and I preached a sermon on giving. And 2 years later, that person came back to visit on the same Stewardship Sunday, and I preached on stewardship and giving. And he greeted me at the door and said, every time I'm here, you're preaching about money. I said, well, if you come a little more often, that would change, if you will. But today we're going to be talking about that, and give and it will be given to you. Sometimes I feel like I'm walking on a tightrope when I preach about giving, with no net, by the way, and talk about how God has blessed us and our personal lives in response to our giving. And so when I tell personal stories like that, I hope you can hear it in the context of praise and glory belong to God. Okay? I recognize that each person listening can hear any way they choose to hear. And if I'm communicating the wrong way, I apologize in advance. Right out of college, I was trying to raise money to go to West Africa as a missionary. It's part of my story that you maybe do not know. I traveled all over the country, southeastern United States mainly, preaching and raising money, living off offerings. And I spent an entire month one time living off of oatmeal and saltines. I was pretty destitute. And I could tell you story after story about how God worked in my life and in the lives of others to see me learn, fast forward, if you will, to grow in my faith. I was raised in the church, but it didn't take. I was an occupier of the pew. When I went off to college and took a class on Pauline theology, and somebody said, you know, Paul the Apostle was converted on Damascus Road, I had never heard of Paul and didn't know what the Damascus Road was. That's how uninformed I was. And so I really needed some fast-forward lessons in life, in ministry, and in faith. And I think that's why God allowed me the privilege of going out and traveling this way. One particular Sunday, I was to go to Greenville, South Carolina to preach from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I had less than a quarter of a tank of gas in my car, about a quarter of a tank of gas, no credit cards, no money. And I've got to drive to Greenville, South Carolina and back. Okay? So I took off. I said, you know, God, you're in this. I'm going to go. And I got to Charlotte and stopped at a relative's house to have breakfast on a Sunday morning. And on my way out of the door, out to go to my car, This relative handed me a $100 bill and said, "The Lord's laid this on my heart. Will you take this?" And I lived that way for 3 years. And I could give you countless stories of God's faithfulness during those times. I was up against the wall, if you will. I've always paid my bills on time. That was drilled into me as a kid. I made my first 90-day same as cash purchase as an 11-year-old kid. I bought a bicycle, a Schwinn banana bike, to deliver newspapers with. 90-day same as cash. When I finished paying for that, by the way, I went to the Goodyear store and bought a television for my bedroom. 90-day same as cash, with the proceeds from my paper out. And when I finished paying for that, I went and bought an air conditioner at the same store because our house didn't have air conditioning. And then my family moved into my bedroom. So what am I doing? And my father went out and air conditioned the rest of the house. And when he passed away, I was still convinced he owed me $99.95 for that air conditioner. All true stories. But anyway, I had impeccable credit. I drove down to see my personal banker, Wachovia Parkway in Winston-Salem. I was going to borrow $1,000, 1975, to pay all my bills and have one bill. I sat in the parking lot, coat and tie on, and began to weep. And I said, "Lord, here I go again, taking charge of your problem. I'm going to pray. I'm praying, dear Lord, that you would send me $1,000 through this revival service I'm preaching next week." And then I thought, holy cow, what have I prayed? I went to this church near Roanoke, Virginia, preached for 7 days, started Sunday morning, 8 days actually. At the end of the meeting, the minister got up and said, "I want to present you with a love offering. This is actually the money we collected this week." And he told the congregation, "It's the most bizarre offering we've ever had. It's the largest offering we've ever had for a revival meeting in the history of this church. And beyond that, it came out to even money. I don't understand it." And I opened the envelope, and it was $1,000. And my life has been touched so deeply in this area. And my motivation for sharing these stories is I wish this, if you please, pardon the language, existential relationship with God for everyone, that they can experience the joy that comes. And I think that's the simple stuff because, quite frankly, our journey and the way we go in our life can be very, very difficult at times, and yet God gives us experiences along the way to draw from so we can look back and say, God was faithful in this area, therefore he will be faithful in this area. You with me? The financial part, the giving part, the money part is the simple, easy part. And my heart breaks for those who have not figured that out. Because down the road in life's journey and the tests that come along are much more difficult than money. And as you grow in your walk with God, as we grow in our walk with God, we have these experiences to draw from, and God moves us from place to place and helps us to grow. And sometimes it begins with something as simple as where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Give, it will be given unto you. And friends, I could tell story after story after story after story. I'm going to tell one more, then I'm going to go back to the text. Here's how great God is. I had this skeptic in my Sunday school class. He was so skeptical in Texas. Everything I did was wrong. His name was Darwin. I guess the tag goes with the person. And when we were moving from Texas in 1988, not a single house had been sold in our neighborhood in 2.5 to 3 years. And when we announced that we were moving to North Carolina, we knew God was in it. Darwin said, "If your house sells, I'll believe there is a God." And I said, "Darwin, the Lord will sell my house. I'm not going to list it. I'm not going to put a sign up." He went, and I thought, oh, here I go again, opening my mouth to change feet. No activity. Nobody looks at our house. Nobody comes to view it. Nobody, only my Sunday school class, a few people in the church knew it was for sale. And the day we moved, the Wheaton Van Line truck driver bought my house. He walked in and he said, "I like your house." I said, "You can buy it." He said, I don't have a refrigerator. I said, you don't have to move that one. He said, well, I've just been transferred by Wheaton to Dallas. I need a place to live. I said, the house is yours. And I sold it to him. In fact, the little devil in me had Darwin's wife. I signed her over as power of attorney to do the closing on the house. Just to dig him a little. 8 months later, I hope you're sitting down. You are, aren't you? Hope you're holding on. 7 or 8 months later, I was in my office in Williamson. I moved from Dallas Metro to Martin County. I moved from going to see the Cowboys play, the Mavericks play, and the Rangers play, and the most amazing city, in my humble opinion, around, to Martin County. I love Martin County, don't get me wrong. But I was sitting there playing with the Rolodex, bored out of my mind. And I came across the drive time radio station and the phone number for that station in my Rolodex. We used to call in to try to win things, never won anything. But I'd call in, 15th caller wins it, you know, that game. I called in. Ron Chapman put me on the air immediately. I said, I'm calling from North Carolina. He said, are you anywhere near Mayberry? I said, yeah, you can sit down the road. And we bantered back and forth for about 5 minutes. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I said, could you at least put me on hold so I can hear your program? I want to say hello to all my friends in First Methodist Church Lancaster, especially Darwin. Just, I love you guys, miss you, God bless you. Darwin was driving his wife's car that day. He drove a pickup truck. It was in the garage. He hated that station, KVIL, Ron Chapman. He heard my voice. He pulled the car over to the side of the road. He reached in the glove box and pulled out a Gideon Bible and gave his life to Christ. And he said, he told me later, he said, here's what I prayed, preacher. Dear Lord, I'm tired of running from you and John Check. Give and it shall be given to you. And Darwin has been on 3 volunteer and mission trips since then. He's come out to visit us, and we still go back and forth on email. Well, why should I give? Giving benefits my own life. Giving makes me, first of all, more like God. It's kind of hard for us to comprehend that, is it not? And just for the record, those of you who have praised Stephen for the animation when we drop the answers in, I'm the one doing that. So leave him alone. But giving makes us more like God. It is in God's very nature to give. He gave his son. He gave food in the wilderness. He gave water in the wilderness. He gives life. He gives joy. He gives hope. God is a giving and forgiving God. Is that a true statement? And we are commissioned by God to grow in our faith and become more like him, if you will. Well, giving draws me closer to God. Where your treasure is, we've already touched on this, there your heart is also. Giving is the antidote to materialism. Wow. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they take hold of the life that is truly life. Giving is the antidote to materialism. And I've experienced that in my own life. And I don't want to get into all of that, but in 1985, I started a business in Dallas. I was working in the corporate world, selling IBM computers. And it was just fascinating how easy it was to be trapped into buying more and more and more. And I had to go through that myself, which was an invaluable lesson for me. To realize that I was still probably making minimum wage. I was just working 100 hours a week. But I bought and bought and bought and bought. And I found out at the end of the day, you know what? It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. At the end of the day, what's important is having a life that is vitally connected to the Lord and making a difference in the lives of other people. giving strengthens my face, my favorite Italian prophet, Malachi, better known as Malachi. Bring your whole tithe to my storehouse. Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you won't have room to contain it or enough for it. I've experienced in my journey along the way people who have decided that they'll give. They want to put God first in their giving. I've had businessmen come to me and say that our business turned a corner when we began to put God first in it. I've had that story told to me over and over again, and I believe it to be true. It is, in fact, it strengthens our faith to the extent, as I mentioned earlier in my stories, that God gives us little bitty stories along the way, things that seem at the time maybe really greatly, maybe huge. But then as we go, our benchmark changes and we grow incrementally in our faith. And, you know, one of the tragedies of our culture today is when people aren't growing in their faith and their understanding of God in their life, and they get to my age or our age and they have calamity or crises that come into their life, they don't have faith to draw from because they've not experienced that incremental growth, and they're handed, if you please, huge challenges. And often they fold under the pressure of that because they've not had that walk. And then and the first reaction that most people have in that place is, and I'm being very candid about this, is, if there is a God, how can this happen to me? That's the reaction, because they haven't experienced the growth in their lives incrementally along the way. I hope that makes sense. Doesn't mean they're lost. Doesn't mean they don't know Christ. It means, as Paul said, I desired to bring you the meat of the word, but I could only bring you milk. Okay? E, giving is an investment for eternity. Give happily to those in need and always be ready to share whatever God has given you. Jesus said, if they want your shirt, give them your cloak. If they want your cloak, give them your outer garment. Given his investment for eternity. How many of us in 08 lost a boatload of money? Well, not to get any detail, but I felt the pain of that day in my pension fund, as most people did. And it may happen again. But the treasure that we lay up in heaven will not have rust, and moth will not corrupt. Invest in things that matter. Giving blesses me in return. A generous person will prosper. He who refreshes others, and it's interesting, he uses the word refreshing in the context of giving, will himself be refreshed. Good will come to him who is generous. I have this friend who's now in the presence of the Lord. He's in the church triumphant. He was born as a twin, hospital in Raleigh, he's my age, would be, and they put the wrong drops in his eyes and his sister's eyes, and both were blinded in the incubator, if you will. It's one of those horrible experiences that, you know, you think, how could that be? Don was so filled with the love of God and faith, if you please, that he refused all aid to those who are sight impaired. And one day, I could give you 100 Don stories. One day I was sitting in at the house and the phone rang and it was Don calling me from an airport. He was stranded, didn't have money for a flight. He'd run out of miles or something. I don't know what the deal was. He's in an airport stranded. And he needed a flight. And I said, would you put the gate supervisor on? He was actually standing at the gates. This is before all the security issues, if you will. And I got on the phone with Don, and we talked. I got the gate attendant on the phone. And the gate attendant said, I will give him a preferred fare if you'll cover it. Well, how much is that? $150. I had $151 to my name. So I said, well, I'll pay for it. And I gave him a credit card or something, and we took care of it, and he flew on his way. And I will tell you that in the next 60 days, that came back to Cheryl and me 10 different times. It's just stunning how God does that. And the blessing that goes with that, and as God blesses us in return, is unbelievable. One particular last story, personal story. I was serving in one of my churches, my first church in North Carolina. In what county? And I didn't feel like I had done my job that week. I had an off week, really bad. Just kind of blew it off. Treasurer handed me my paycheck, and I signed it and gave it back to him. I said, I didn't deserve it this week. You keep it. Cheryl said, what? And by the end of that pay period, our income had tripled. How do you explain that stuff? You can't explain that. You give and it comes back to us either materially or immaterially in this life or in the life to come. Well, how can I get the most out of my giving? First of all, give willingly. If the willingness is there, your gift is acceptable according to what you have, not according to what you do not have. Each one should give what is decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under pressure. If we give legalistically, because we have to, we must, we should, we ought, I think our reward is there. That's it. Begrudgingly. If we find giving joyfully, I think that's entirely different. I don't think God is pleased when we live in the have to, must, and should world. In my humble opinion, that's not free will. That's bondage of some sort. And so many people are in bondage to one form or another. And so it behooves us to give willingly. To give thankfully. How can I repay the debt I have to God? Friends, without going into a lot of detail, I know what it feels like to be lost. I know the darkness of being separated from God. I spent my teenage years, if I could relive them, the only way I would want to relive them is if I knew the Lord and was living for Him. They were horrible. I know the sadness and the desperation of being a fourth child in a family of overachievers. Well, David never did this. Small high school. Any of you been there as a second one through or third one through? Give thankfully. Give joyfully. God loves a cheerful giver. Give weekly or regularly on the first day of the week as we set aside what we've earned, we give as an offering. Give expectantly. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generosity. Heavenly Father, work in our hearts not just to be people who give. That's great. We want to do that. Work in our hearts so that we become and continue to be people that live that abundant life that we have in Christ, living on the edge. Help us, Father, to do and to live in a way that is pleasing to You. Help us, Father, not to take this moment lightly. In Jesus' name, amen.